The following is a lecture entitled How I Came to Krishna Consciousness, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 1st, 2016, in Santiago, Chile.
Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, Krishna is very pleased when we engage in Krishna Katha. He describes this in the Bhagavad Gita. Machchita madgata prana bodhayantak paraspadam katayantashtamam nityam tashyantacha brahmanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. But there's something that pleases Krishna even more than his glories are being vibrated. And that is when we vibrate the glories of Krishna's pure devotees. So tonight I want to glorify the greatest of the pure devotees, my beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada came to America in 1965. He set foot on Commonwealth Pier in Boston, just at the same time that I was a freshman in college. I had never wondered what is the purpose of life. But as soon as September 1965 came around, as soon as Prabhupada arrived in America, I started wondering, what is the purpose of my life? I went on a great quest to find out what is the purpose of my life. It was a very difficult time, a great struggle. In the college, they said, what do you want to major in? But how could I decide on a major when I didn't even know the purpose of my life? So, by Krishna's grace, I'm able to come and finally come in contact with this movement. I had one friend who had learned the mantra from the devotees. And he taught me the mantra also. And after chanting Hare Krishna, I realized I have no place in this material world. I can't fit in this material world. So I decided to renounce the world, to go to India and become a sadhu in India. But as I was on the way to India, I realized that I'm denying the material world. I want to deny everything. They have that process, neti neti, you know, neti 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 neti. So I was a neti neti philosopher. Deny, 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 deny. But then one night I had an amazing realization. I've denied everything now. I'm going to go to India and just be a beggar in India. But now there's one more thing I can deny. And that is denial itself. So I did a neti neti on neti neti. It's like you cut down the forest with a hatchet and then you throw away the hatchet, you see. Now what to do? I have to find something transcendental to accept. So I felt there were some souls in San Francisco that were calling me to join them. Don't renounce the world. Be a part of a revolution to save the world. So instead of heading to New York to catch a freighter to India, I hitchhiked 2,000 miles to San Francisco to a neighborhood called Haight-Ashbury, where all the hippies live. And I went to a famous park. It's called Golden Gate Park. The first thing I did when I arrived in San Francisco, I went to Haight-Ashbury and I went to Golden Gate Park. And what did I see? The Harinam party. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So they invited me to the temple. I already knew the mantra. But I had one problem. I was a Mayavadi. I thought, I'm Krishna. So I was chanting in the temple room, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And one Brahmacharini, she came up to me and she said, oh, you're chanting so nicely. And I was thinking, ha ha ha, if she only knew that I am Krishna. So I wasn't, even though these were the people who were calling me to join them, the devotees, the brahmacharis, householders, these were the devotees, these were the people who were actually calling me to join their spiritual revolution. But I was so blinded by Mayavadi philosophy, I couldn't see it. You see? So I tried on my own by singing and writing songs to make a spiritual revolution. But I was not successful. And things got really ugly on the West Coast. There was violence going on. Violence. The peace and love was going away, and now violence was coming in. So I went back to Texas, where I was from, and did my singing and songwriting there. And I was thinking, well, now I can make a revolution by my singing and songwriting. And many people liked my music. But then one day, some girl came up to me and she said, "I hate your music." I was shocked. So I didn't know what to do, you know. Things were getting pretty bleak. I got really bleak. I went home to visit my parents for Christmas. And I went with my mom to the grocery store one morning.
My mom?
I went with my mother to the grocery store where they sell groceries.
Okay. Mi madre me llevó al almacén.
And we met one boy named Frank.
Y conocimos a un joven llamado Frank.
He invited me to come for a Bible study every morning.
Y él me invitó a estudiar la Biblia todas las mañanas.
He was a Mormon.
Él era mormón.
Actually, he was a blooped ISKCON devotee. His name was Nityananda Das, but he became a Mormon. So he invited me for a Mormon Bible study every morning. And I got in the habit of getting up early in the morning before sunrise and studying scripture. So after spending Christmas with my family, I went back up to Austin. And now, how I need to find out how I can become self-realized. That was my determination. So I knew one person. I knew that Jesus was definitely self-realized. You see. So I want to know, what is the secret of Jesus? How did he become a self-realized soul? So I'd get up every morning and I'd read the Bible. What made Jesus a self-realized soul? And one day I found him. Jesus says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Not what I want to do, but what you want me to do." That's a fact. That's the same thing as Sarvadharman Parityaja. From the perspective of the devotee.
Desde la perspectiva del devoto.
So I knew now that's what I have to do to become self-realized. I just have to do what God wants me to do, not what I want to do. But I had uno problema grande. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I was waiting for the voice from the sky. This is your mission. But no voice came. What to do? Anyway, one afternoon, there was a vegetarian co-op in the neighborhood. And I took my guitar. They have a little stage there for musicians in front of the co-op. So I was up there playing on my guitar and singing along some songs. But nobody was listening. So, you know, it's kind of depressing for a musician when nobody's listening to you, you know. But there was only one little girl was listening. And this little girl, it's amazing. She was so intelligent and perceptive. She could read my mind. A little girl, she could read my mind. She knew I was depressed because she was the only one listening. You can imagine how what perceptual powers this small child had. She came up to me after I finished the song. And this is even more amazing. She is exactly what she told me. I remember every word. Don't worry, God can hear you. Wow. What an amazing thing for a little girl to say, you know. But I started thinking about the deep significance of this. Here I am waiting for God to tell me what my mission is, and I'm not hearing Him, you see. I cannot hear Him. But now she's just informed me that God can hear me. She was actually, Krishna used her as a messenger. To inform me that, well, you can't hear me, but I can hear you. I realized, yes, God can hear me. Yes, He can hear me. So what to do now? It's very simple. I just prayed every morning intensely, dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. That was I would read the Bible and I would pray. That was my mantra. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. And Krishna heard me. Do you know how I know that Krishna heard me? Because he sent a devotee to Austin to answer my prayer. That devotee's name was His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. One morning I'm sitting there, you know, and I was staying with one of my fans, his name was Mark. I didn't work, I just stayed with my fans, you know. I would sing and stay with my fans, you know. So I was staying with my fan Mike, and one of his friends, Margaret, came to his apartment a Sunday morning. With a message for Mike. There's a Hare Krishna Swami there's a Hare Krishna Swami in town. He's going to be at my apartment in 1 hour.
Wow.
Well, you know where I was an hour later. It was only a half a block away. I was there at Margaret's apartment, and there was Vishnu John Swami. That effulgent swan-like sannyasi. That was very, very special. And he invited me to a Sunday feast down in the park. It was a very simple feast. It was just apple chutney, sweet rice, and potatoes with sour cream and turmeric, and that was it. But it was pure nectar from the spiritual world, let me tell you. It was pure nectar from the spiritual world. And so I started associating with this Swami every day, you see. He had no place. He would just stay in different... He had no fixed place. He was new in town. So he would go to the college campus every day and he would say, invite me to your home and I'll turn your home into a temple. So every night he would do a program at a different home. You go to the campus during the day to see where will the Swami be tonight. So one night he was at Robin Ferris's apartment.
Entonces una vez, sorry.
A boy named Robin Ferris.
Entonces una vez
the apartment was at Robin. The program was at Robin's apartment.
El programa era en la casa de Robin.
So Vishnujana. So the program was going on in the living room.
Así que el programa estaba yendo en el living.
And I got a little thirsty.
So
I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water. And who would come into the kitchen also but His Holiness Vishnujana Swami? Ah, there's a whole group in the kitchen, but now it's just me and the Swami all alone in the kitchen. And he spoke a few very poignant words to me. Very pointedly, very compassionately, very succinctly. He looked me right in the eye and he said, "You have to become sober." Now, you know, the hippies, their idea was always be intoxicated. You know, some marijuana, some LSD, some magic mushrooms, you know, peyote cactus, you know, always be intoxicated. This was the hippies' philosophy. But now I'm being told by this Swami, you have to become sober. My parents had told me that, it would have been, I would have taken it differently. You see. But he was coming from somebody who was on a very, very high platform of spiritual enlightenment. So I never thought that becoming sober was the thing to do, you see. But actually, the more you become sober in Krishna consciousness, the more you become divinely intoxicated. So the Swami was reeling me in. I was getting more attracted by all of this, you know. So there was only one Ratha Yatra in ISKCON, that was in San Francisco. So there's going to be a Lord Chaitanya festival up in Dallas, about 3-hour drive up the interstate freeway. Lord Chaitanya, 3 hours drive north to Dallas, there's a Lord Chaitanya festival.
Okay, entonces 3 horas al norte de Dallas iba a haber un festival del Señor Chaitanya.
So we all went to the Lord Chaitanya festival.
Todos fuimos al festival del Señor Chaitanya.
They needed somebody to play the Kazi in the drama, you know, the Kazi play.
Entonces, alguien que sí, alguien
well, I had long hair down to my shoulders and a big beard, you see.
Alguien que tenía un largo pelo.
So I had a big beard and long hair down to my shoulders. So I was perfect for a Muslim, you see. They had me play the Qazi. But that morning, you see, we didn't have, in those days, there was no Java beads from India. Now we get Java beads from India all the time, you see. We didn't have ISKCON in India then. If you wanted Java beads, you would go to the hobby store and buy some beads and string your own beads. That was the way to do it. So we arrived in Dallas on Friday night. And then on Saturday morning, a bunch of us thought, we would like to chant japa like the devotees are chanting. So we all got in a car and went over to a hobby store and bought some beads. So I strung my beads, my 108 beads with the big bead on the 109th bead, you know. And I chanted my first 16 rounds. And now I'm thinking, yeah, I can become a devotee now. I just chanted 16 rounds.
You know.
So I told Vishnujan, yeah, I think I can become a devotee now. Yeah. But it's amazing what he told me. Instead of saying, wonderful, that's wonderful. Instead, you know what he said? He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. He challenged me. Let's see if you can really do this, fella. hey, guy, let's see if you can really pull this off. I don't know about you, if you're really serious. He was challenging me, you see. He's very intelligent preacher, very intelligent preacher. Now I had to prove to him that I could, you know, he was really intelligent preacher, let me tell you. So I played the kazi, and I broke the drum on the drama, I smashed the madunga drum. They had one that was half broken already, you know, a real madunga drum, and I smashed it. And then we went back to Austin, and this boy Robin, who had the program at his house, he really liked the devotees, and he went to a barber and got a shaved head with a sikha just because he thought it looked cool. So I also, he encouraged me, why don't you get shaved up too? So I did. I went to the barber and got a temple cut. Shaved head with a sikha. Really cool, you know, really cool hairstyle, you know. But I wasn't living in the temple. And I went to the temple with my shaved head and sikha. The brahmacharyas got angry. Who authorized you to do that? But Vishnujnath Swami was cool with him. He was on the phone talking to the president of Dallas Temple. And he said, guess what? The Kazi shaved up. So I was staying with Robin, but then he said, his wife didn't like me staying with him, so I needed a place to stay, and the devotees were inviting me. So I went to live in, I decided to go live in the temple. Plus, there was another reason I went to stay in the temple. At that time, I was the house musician at a vegetarian restaurant called Sattva. I would sing there every day and get free lunch. But when I came back from the festival in Dallas, I decided now, because George Harrison had just written My Sweet Lord, you see. It was a number one hit. And I was thinking, I'm just going to write songs about Krishna. All my mundane songs, I'm going to throw them away. I'm just going to sing songs about Krishna now, you see. That was my plan. The night when I came back from Dallas, I just happened to run into the manager of the restaurant. I had my japa beads around my neck. He had a friend who joined the movement, so he knew what that meant. And he told the other people, he said, this is Steve here, he's our house musician at Sattva. He looked at me and he looked at those beads. He says, but you can't sing songs about Krishna at the restaurant. So what am I going to do? I've been so inspired. I thought, I'm only going to sing songs about Krishna. And now the boss where I had my gig as a musician, he said, I can't sing songs about Krishna. What to do? I'm more attached to Krishna. I'm more attached to my gig at the vegetarian restaurant. Well, the devotees will feed me anyway. Who cares? I'll go to the temple. But you see, I wasn't thinking of becoming a devotee. I was thinking I'll be a Krishna conscious musician following George, you see. I'm not going to be a brahmacharya. I'll just be a Krishna conscious singer songwriter. I'll spread the movement in my own way, you see. So I told Vishnujnath Swami, I'm not moving in to be a devotee, I'm just moving in to learn something. And he was very kind. You see, there was one hippie poet named Gary Snyder. He went and lived in a Zen monastery for some time so he could improve his poetry. So I was thinking, am I living in the temple? I could learn how to write better songs. Anyway, I told the Swami, I'm just coming as a learning experience. He said, that's a good attitude. He encouraged me. I took all my 300 mundane songs, I threw them in the temple garbage can. So now I'm living in the temple, not to be a devotee, just to learn how to write better songs about Krishna. But when you're living in the temple, you do what the devotees do, you see. You get up for Mangal Arati, you bow down when you enter the temple room, and there's this prayer you say. This long prayer you say. When you bow down, you know, Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna. That's a long. How do you, for a Texas songwriter, that's pretty tough, you know. Texas hippie, to learn Namah Om Vishnu Padaya, that's pretty tough. You know. So, what to do? Well, I got a right idea. Take a ballpoint pen and put it on your hand. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishna. I had it all there, all the way down there. It filled all the way, almost the whole hand was filled. The second half too, Namaste. So it was all there, the whole thing. But there was a little space left on here in my thumb. So Vishnujan Swami saw this. And he said, now add this to your hand. I must please my spiritual master and to surrender unto him fully. Was I going to do that? Of course not. I'm not going to do such a thing. Devotees said, but I said, they said, you know, Steve, you know, they call me Steve Prabhu because I did 10 BGGs. I earned the title Prabhu by doing 10 BGGs. I distributed 10 Back to Godhead magazines. Okay, so they gave me the title Prabhu. Now you're a Prabhu, you did 10 BTG. Actually, Prabhu is only for initiated devotees now, Bhara Prabhupada said. So anyway, devotees said, but Steve Prabhu, it says here in Bhagavad Gita, you have to take a spiritual master. You can't be a devotee of Krishna without being a disciple of the spiritual master. They told me this.
So,
was I defeated?
Fui derrotado?
Yes. Was I going to do it?
Lo iba a hacer?
No. But an amazing thing happened.
Pero una cosa increíble pasó.
You know, George, the devotees had met George in London, you know. And they got together, they made a beautiful record album called the Radha Krishna Temple Album. We play the first cut from that album every day. That was done by George and the devotees in London. So it has just been released. And they sent Apple Records sent a promo copy to all the record stations all over America. So this radio station in Austin got it, and they thought, this is too spiritual, we don't want to play this. But there's those Hare Krishna guys that chant out by the campus, they probably would like this. So they came with the album in their hand looking for us.
Sorry?
They came. The guy from the record station, the radio station, came with the record in hand, looking for the Hare Krishna people. And he found us on the street, and he said, "Here, you'll probably like this." And he handed it to us as a gift. And wow, did we really bliss out on that album, I tell you. We had no idea that George Harrison was this much into Krishna consciousness. It was amazing. So it was a 33 and a third vinyl. There was no cassettes. It was not on. Cassettes were not in yet. CDs weren't in. Downloads were not in. Streaming was not in. It was just 33 and a third vinyl. That was the days. 33 and a third vinyl. So we had a record player in the temple room. And we play that record again and again. So my service in the morning was to vacuum the rug in the temple room. And one morning, one fateful morning, well, we were playing that record and I was vacuuming the rug. The Govinda prayers finished. And then that needle moved over to the second cut on the album. The devotees were singing with such love. Such an amazing love. Samsara dava nalalita loka tranayakar yunyaganaganavam praptashakalyana gunanavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. Now, being an envious person, I mean, really envious person, I could sense these devotees are tasting a spiritual bliss. They are experiencing a nectar which is far beyond anything I've ever experienced in millions of years. And I wanted to taste it too. So as I was hankering in that way, I want to taste the same nectar they are tasting. This feeling and this thought flooded my brain. It was a question, actually. And this is exact. I didn't speak it, I was just thinking, but it was such a powerful thought. I know exactly every word I was thinking at that minute. Here's what I thought. Wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? And the tears just came streaming down my face. And Prabhupada entered in my heart. So that's the story of how I met Prabhupada. I hadn't even seen him yet. But I'd given my life to him as his eternal servant for all of eternity. I had actually turned down two other opportunities to meet him when I was in California. The puffed up Mayavadi didn't want to have his little I am God bubble popped, you see. But I had grown beyond the Mayavadi philosophy. And now I had given my heart for Prabhupada. So then a big, wonderful thing was happening. San Francisco Ratha Yatra. Prabhupada's going to be there. Everybody in the whole movement, they're all going to San Francisco. A big, huge Maha festival. So Vishnujan Swami headed out with two of the brahmacharis. And the rest of us were supposed to join later. But after he left, the landlord got very disturbed and he wanted to evict us from the temple. So the GBC said, you boys have to stay back because there's trouble with the landlord. Stay back! I was shocked. Vishnujan Swami said, we're all supposed to come. And now the GBC says we're not supposed to go. But Vishnujan Swami is my authority. Who is this GBC? But the devotee said, no, Steve Prabhu, you have to obey the GBC. They're the authority. But I'm going to miss Prabhupada. It was like this horrible conflict going on in my brain. You got to obey the GBC, but I want to see Prabhupada. It's like, And the devotee said, no, you have to stay back. You can't go. But I knew how to hitchhike. I didn't need a ride. I could stick out my thumb and hitchhike to San Francisco. I know how to do that, you see. I didn't depend on anybody. I could stick out my thumb and be there in 2 or 3 days. But they said, no, you can't go. It's Maya to go. What to do? Well, Vishnujana Swami heard about this. So he calls the GBC. He says, those boys don't know how to do anything. They can't handle the problem. Let them come. So the GBC said, okay, you can go. I was so relieved. I didn't want to obey the GBC, but I didn't want to miss Prabhupada. But by Krishna's grace, I got to obey the GBC, and I got to go to see Prabhupada. Wow. Now we're in San Francisco. We're waiting. Prabhupada's coming tomorrow. Prabhupada's coming. Oh, wow. Prabhupada's coming. We're going to see Prabhupada. Oh, such a wonderful thing. So we all went to the airport. There's no security in those days. You can go right up to the jet bridge, you know. So there's about 300 devotees. And it was like a human corridor. The jet bridge is like a tube. The jet bridge is a tube coming off the airplane, you know. Now there's a human tube of dancing and chanting devotees after they get off the jet bridge. And all these passengers are coming off, they're going, just amazed, what's going on here? Of course, San Francisco was famous for far out things, but the hippies, but this is really far out. All these people in shaved heads and robes jumping up and down. And we waited and we waited and we waited. When were another passenger? No, not Prabhupada. Another passenger? No, it's not Prabhupada. Just waiting. I think Prabhupada was the last one off the airplane. It seemed like he was. But I was amazed because Prabhupada is the biggest personality in the whole universe. He's more powerful than Lord Brahma for spreading Krishna Bhakti. But he was so short. I was amazed. He's so short, but he's the biggest of all people, you see. So we all paid our dandavats. And now we're escorting Prabhupada through the airport with a big kirtan. And the devotees are thinking, they heard it was very auspicious to make a pathway of yogurt. So they sprinkled yogurt all over the floor for Prabhupada to walk through yogurt all the way across the terminal. And then we get out there. We get out to where the cars pick you up, right? And you know what? There was no car to pick up Prabhupada. There's pictures of this. Prabhupada stood there like an aristocratic gentleman, very patiently waiting for his car. He just stood there. Didn't say a word. He didn't show any anger. He just peacefully stood there waiting for his car. And there's 300 devotees standing around him just looking at him. But I tell you, we devotees from Texas, we were the most stupid devotees in the whole movement. You know why? We had a car. And we didn't offer Prabhupada a ride to the Ratha Yatra site. We were so stupid, we thought, let's go to the Ratha Yatra site so we can be there to greet Prabhupada when he comes there. We got in the car and drove to the Ratha Yatra site, leaving Prabhupada behind at the airport. In Spanish, it's called stupidísimo. We left him at the airport and Brett took the car to go to the festival site. Oh my God. We were so stupid. We could have driven Prabhupada in our car to the airport, to the festival site. Oh my God. Wow. So anyway, finally we got there and Prabhupada came. And it was so, there was hundreds of devotees and there was thousands of hippies. This was the big thing, all the hippies came. seemed like there was 30,000 people. It was huge, huge. Prabhupada got on Subhadra Devi's cart. And he gave a very nice lecture. Now you know, every morning we sing in Guru Puja. My only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So what are the first words I'm going to hear from Prabhupada's mouth, you see? That's pretty significant thing. The very first words I will hear as he speaks. The very first word I had coming from Prabhupada's lotus mouth directly into my ear, not through a recording, but right there in his presence, the very first word that I heard come from his mouth into my ear was Jagannath. Srila Prabhupada said, Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Badagami, Bhavatume. Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. And he gave the most wonderful lecture. It's recorded, you can hear it. It's in the MP3 collection. In fact, if you send me an email, I'll send you the lecture. So you can hear it too. Prabhupada explained, it's amazing, he said, you have all seen God. Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So you have all seen God. And then he said, and Krishna says, Rasoham Mapsukonteya, I am the taste of water also. He said, every day you're, where's my, oh, just a reminder. He said, every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water, you will remember that Krishna is the taste of the agua, the water. Immediately you will become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious, no es difícil. It's not a difficult job. All you have to do is practice it. By remembering, every time you drink water, remember Krishna, the taste of the water. Is that difficult? No, it's difficult. Every day we're drinking so much agua, isn't it? Every time you drink any liquid thing, you simply remember, ah, this nice refreshing taste, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So in this way, then the festival began, and Prabhupada gave another lecture at the festival site. Then after the lecture, the car pulled up to the, in the middle of the park, and Prabhupada got in the car, and the car drove off with Prabhupada. But I was so enlivened to see my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. I've given my life to him. He is my eternal spiritual master. And as the car was driving away, I just was in so much ecstasy. I just started running after the car, yelling, Prabhupada, I'm your servant. I just went running after the car. And then my dhoti started to fall off. But I held it and it was okay. So, then a few days later, Prabhupada is going to Los Angeles. Many, many devotees will be initiated. And Prabhupada would chant the beads for each disciple in the ceremony. So there were so many devotees, we had to have like three days worth of ceremonies just so he could chant on all the beads.
Iba a tomar casi tres días y él cantaba todas las llapas.
And we were driving. We were driving as fast as we were really. That we were really going, driving fast to get to L.A., try to get to L.A. as soon as we can. We wanted to miss Prabhupada's association. But you know what? The boys who joined before me in Austin, they got initiated. But I'd only been chanting 16 rounds for 5 months. 5 months, not six. Devotee said, Prabhupada is an old man, he can die at any time. I didn't want to miss this chance to be Prabhupada's disciple. I was so upset, I was crying. I just kind of went away, you know, on the side of the temple. I didn't want people to see me crying. I was sobbing like a baby because I couldn't get initiated. But anyway, I had a nice, really nice encounter with Prabhupada there at L.A. In the morning, Prabhupada would go on the morning walk. That's a famous thing, is morning walks. They would drive Prabhupada to Venice Beach or to Cheviot Hills Park for his morning walk. And then they would drive him back to the temple. So there's an amazing thing. When he came back to the temple, the devotees had arranged this amazing thing. We would line up down. There's this Prabhupada walk. The entrance to his quarters was in the rear side of the temple building. On the side of the temple building. Okay. So he would walk down the sidewalk back to his quarters, you see. So devotees would line up from the street down and along the sidewalk where Prabhupada was going to walk, and every devotee would have a flower. And Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers. And you know what? Every devotee got their own one-on-one moment with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would come to you and you would hand him a flower and he would hand one back to you. You'd give it to him and give it back to you. You see? So I was standing right near the front. And Vishnu John Swami was at the very front of the line. He got a lot more than a flower. You know what he got? He got a hug. He got a hug from Prabhupada. Oh, wow. Was I envious? No. I got over envy. See. Now the mood of envy is gone, you see. I become a devotee. Instead of being envious, because I was one of Vishnu John's men, you see. I felt I was being hugged also when he got hugged. You see what I'm saying? Because I was one of his men. I felt so good to see him getting hugged because I felt I was getting hugged at the same time because he was my leader and he was getting hugged, you see. So anyway, Prabhupada, I got my flower now and Prabhupada's walking on down the line, you see. So I don't know exactly how to explain to you the experience of actually seeing Prabhupada with your very eyes standing in front of you. But I will describe it like this. I will try to describe it in this way. You drink Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. Like that. You see, Prabhupada, love, Prabhupada enters your heart. So if you gaze at Srila Prabhupada with eyes of love, he will travel through the ether and enter your heart. You see? So I want to do a little more Prabhupada drinking, you see. I want another darshan. I had that moment, now I want more. So if you come to LA, I'll show you exactly where this happened. I know the exact spot on the steps where this happened. I stationed myself on the steps for a little bit of a bird's eye view, you see. And Prabhupada came walking by, and I'm just gazing at him, you know, with a big smile, and just looking at him with love and so much joy, and looking at him as he walks by, you see. And he looks up at me. Oh, here's somebody who's not in the line. Prabhupada was thinking, I wonder if he has a flower. What if he got a flower? There was no words exchanged, but it was all body language between me and Prabhupada, and facial expression. Prabhupada looks up. Prabhupada looks up at me and he holds a flower up like, did you get a flower yet? And I understood exactly what he was saying by facial expression, holding up a flower, you know. And I held up my flower and I showed him, and I nodded my head and I had a big smile, ear to ear grin, smiling, yes, yes, I showed him my flower, I got a flower, so I'm okay, Prabhupada. But that tells you, I wasn't a big leader, I wasn't initiated, I'm just some wild, crazy, renegade hippie from Texas who shaved up and put on a sikha, you know.
So,
and in Tilak.
But
Prabhupada wanted to make sure that I had gotten a flower. That is the love of Prabhupada. He cared about every single devotee, and to this minute he still cares about everyone who comes to this movement. Prabhupada is seeing you, he cares about you, he loves every one of you, are very dear and very special to Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, he went to his quarters and I didn't get initiated. So we went back to Texas. And then a month went by. Now I'm my 6 months. But Prabhupada's not in America. Now he's in England. But that was okay. Prabhupada could also initiate by letter. So, one fateful day, there in Austin, Texas, the U.S. postman delivered a letter from Prabhupada to me and two other boys. It was addressed to all three of us. He said, "My dear sons," it was dated August 12, 1971, from London. He said, now he accepted us as his disciples. He gave me the name Sankarshan Das. So then we had Vishnujan Swami arranged a fire ceremony, Agnihotra Yoga, in the front yard of the temple. And our temple president at that time was called Ishan. Vishnujan Swami had gone to open another temple in San Antonio, and a boy named Ishan was the new temple president. But this boy Ishan, he had this idea, we have to get the leaders, make the leaders Krishna conscious.
Pero Ishan tenía como la intención de hacer que todos los líderes se vuelvan conscientes de Krishna.
So he invited the mayor of Austin to attend the initiation ceremony.
Entonces invitó a los líderes de la ciudad para que atiendan.
This had never been done in ISKCON. A mayor comes to an initiation ceremony. But the mayor did it. He showed up. Roy Butler showed up for my initiation ceremony. And the neighbors complained about the kirtan. And they called the police. We're having this Agnihotra Yagya in the front yard of the temple. The neighbors called the police. And the police, the mayor was there, he said, and he was attending the ceremony. They couldn't, it was authorized because the mayor was attending and they couldn't say anything. The police said, just go, you know. So the student newspaper called the Daily Texan got a photograph. Vishnajan Swami was giving a Simply Wonderful to the mayor. So I collected some dakshina and I mailed it in a letter to Prabhupada. Along with a photograph of Vishnajan Swami giving the mayor the Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada amazed me. And the letter I got back, I got a personal letter back from Prabhupada. It was amazing because Vishnajan Swami had blessed me with Prabhupada's mercy by his making me a devotee, you see. He had been non-stop giving me the blessings of Prabhupada by his wonderful preaching. And then Prabhupada told me, he said, you give my blessings to Vishnajan Swami. I was thinking, well, how can I give Prabhupada's blessings to Vishnajan Swami? Well, I have to, because Prabhupada ordered me to. So I said, Prabhupada gives his blessings. So I was now giving Prabhupada's blessings to Vishnajan Swami. It's like a reciprocation, you know. And this letter, I tell you, was the most amazing letter. The first personal letter. The other was the three of us. This was the first personal letter I got from Prabhupada. Because I'd been associating with Vishnajan Swami. He was really into, you know, saving the world, spreading the movement. He was a very revolutionary preacher. I mean, he was empowered. He came into Austin with no money, no musical instruments, and within 2 or 3 weeks, he had a temple building, if you can imagine, filled up with devotees. He was empowered. Some professor really liked him, and so he rented a house and kept one room for himself and his wife, and the rest of the house was for the devotees. It was amazing. So I told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement. Seeing Vishnajan Swami's mood, you see, I said, Prabhupada, I want to spread this movement. So Prabhupada wrote me back. He acknowledged the exact, like an accountant, he acknowledged the exact amount of each of the three checks I sent him, the exact amount of each check. And then he said this to me. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And he said, now continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Do you realize how powerful that is, what he just said? He gave me a blessing. That if I would continue, he ordered me to always remain enthusiastic. You are now enthusiastic, now always keep this enthusiasm. And he said there would be a benediction from doing this. He promised me that I would receive the blessings of Krishna if I did this. So what are you supposed to do when you get an order from your guru? It's optional, right?
Hay opciones?
You can take it or leave it, right? You decide, well, I think I like to follow this one, I don't want to follow that one, right? You don't have to follow your guru, right? No, of course not. Prabhupada was given the order that you spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. You take the order you receive from your spiritual master as your life and soul. You embrace it within your heart. You worship that order. So I decided I was going to hang on to that instruction. Many of my God brothers and God sisters have left ISKCON. There's a very small number left of the original Prabhupada disciples. But I'm here because Prabhupada ordered me, and I'm obedient to his order, you see. Prabhupada ordered everyone. Some were obedient, some were not. Some of Prabhupada's disciples were obedient, most of them were not that obedient. They're no longer active within ISKCON, you see. Prabhupada said, if you leave ISKCON, you leave me. But they're not following them. So there's actually, just like this microphone stand here, it has three legs. Uno, dos, tres. Three legs, you see. So there are three legs given in the Nectar Devotion. There's 64 items of how to do bhakti. The first three are the most important. If you do these three with full sincerity, determination, and patience, it covers all the other 61. The first one is Adau Garashvayam, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the first one. The second one is you solemnize, if you can translate that. You make that solid by taking a vow called diksha. That I will eternally remain in the shelter of your lotus feet. Obedient to you for all of eternity. That's the vow called diksha. And the third item, obedience. Keep your word. You made the vow, now you keep your word. SDO, shelter, diksha, and obedience.
SDO, refugio, diksha, y obediencia.
SDO is the only way to go. In English, we can say. So, if you will do, if two legs, the microphone will fall over. One leg it'll fall over, no legs it'll fall over. But with three legs, it's solid, you see, it doesn't waver. It's sitting very solidly through this lecture. So if you want to be Pakka Vaishnava, you want to be solid devotee, you take these three items very seriously. Take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And be totally obedient. Always keep your word that you gave at the initiation ceremony. If you do this, very soon you'll realize God. So in this way my spiritual life began. And by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and many, many of his followers who have helped me along the way, it is still going on nicely. Prabhupada gave us a mission. He said a Krishna conscious being is always planning, thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Because he is Krishna conscious, his perfection is guaranteed. And anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So this is what it means to be a devotee.
Así que esto es lo que significa ser un devoto.
It means to think, how can I live my life for the deliverance of all living entities in this world?
Significa cómo vivir mi vida de manera que pueda liberar a toda la humanidad sufriente de este mundo.
Because of this mood, this is why devotees preach.
Así que ese es el humor y es por esto.
This is why devotees make new devotees. This is why devotees want to flood this world with Prabhupada's books. This is why the devotees want to do Harinam Sankirtan everywhere, in every street corner. Just like there was a nice kirtan at the airport today when we arrived. It was very nice.
I was
thinking how much these people at the airport are being blessed to see this ecstatic kirtan right here at the airport. So this is the mood of the devotee. The devotee wants to make the whole world Krishna conscious. He has a nature called compassion. Prabhupada explains in his purport in the Bhagavatam that if one part of the body becomes sick, the other parts of the body then will lend their energy to that part of the body to heal it. Prabhupada said, similarly, the oneness of the devotee is his compassion upon all the conditioned souls in this material world. So this is the most important lesson that Prabhupada has taught us. We must be compassionate upon others. We must be kind to the devotees. We should never be cruel to the devotees. And we must become kind to all the fallen conditioned souls of this world by sharing Krishna with them. As I was flying on the airplane to Sydney to Santiago last night, I noticed how the people, they like to watch the movies on the airplane. And I was thinking, why do I not want to watch the movies? I mean, I could. I had a thing right there. I could have pressed a button and watch a movie. Why don't I want to watch a movie? And my realization was this. There is nothing more attractive than Krishna. Compared to the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These movies are just garbage. But I did push the button and pull the screen up to see the flight path, how soon I will arrive in Santiago. But after a while, I didn't need it. And then I just used it as a coat stand for my vest. I put the vest over the TVs. A coat rack. So in this way, we're very happy to be here now. We're going to have a nice weekend of Krishna consciousness together. There's some programs. Everyone, please come tomorrow morning. How many will come for Mangal Aarti tomorrow morning? Raise your hand. Everyone, come on. Once in a year, come for Mangal Aarti. Mangal Aarti is auspicious. Prabhupada said that by singing the Brahma Maharta prayers during the Garvastakam prayers during Brahma Maharta, you will achieve the direct service. Actually, this is the statement of Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, the author of Garvastakam.
Entonces, el Mangal Aarti es muy auspicioso, y de hecho hay una afirmación.
Garbhastakam means eight prayers glorifying the spiritual master. But there is a ninth prayer which describes the glories of the eight prayers. In the ninth prayer, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a benediction. Whoever will sing these prayers during the Brahma Maharta hour will achieve at the time of death the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So coming to Mangal Arati is your ticket to Goloka Vrindavan. Go to bed early, no television tonight, no late movies. Do yourself a favor, get a ticket to Goloka Vrindavan. Go to bed early, get up early, come to the temple for Mangal Arati at 4:30 a.m. No? 4:30 a.m. We're going to have a wonderful Gravastakam prayers tomorrow.
And
the Gravastakam prayers glorifies the spiritual master. So it glorifies Srila Prabhupada. It also glorifies your initiating guru. You see? So you can meditate on Prabhupada and your own Guru Maharaj, you see, during the Gravastakam. It's very nice. Very nice. So in this way, well, are there any questions? Yes.
¿Cómo cultivar la obediencia, la resolución? No es prácticamente tan difícil buscar un maestro espiritual, refugiarse en él, un poco iniciarse. ¿Cómo entonces cultivar la resolución para servir?
Resuelto, ¿cómo dice?
Resolution.
So, how can we cultivate obedience?
How we what?
Cultivate obedience.
How to cultivate obedience?
Yeah, because it is easy to get shelter, it is easy to get diksha, but it's not easy to...
Actually, without obedience, you're just throwing your diksha, you're just flushing your diksha down the toilet, really. It's flushing it down the toilet. You're treating your diksha like stool. If you love your guru, you'll obey him, you see. The real secret is love. Because if you violate the regulative principle, your spiritual master has to suffer for that. He may get some injury, he may get sick. Sometimes spiritual masters have to take reactions for their disciples' sinful activity. And Prabhupada also explains the spiritual master has to stay in the material world until his disciple goes back to Godhead. So, if you really love your spiritual master, you will obey him because you don't want to put him into trouble. So the real secret is you have to realize how much your spiritual master loves you, and you have to reciprocate that love by obedience. Next question.
Sometimes it's natural. Sometimes it's natural to obey the spiritual master because you want to please him. Sometimes it's natural. You want to please him. You want him satisfied.
Okay, and then.
Pero pensando en la situación del GBC que le decía usted, no vaya, y usted quería ver a Prabhupada, ahí sí hay conflicto a veces con la autoridad
but
general.
As you were telling us that you, the GBC didn't want you to come to Los Angeles, so sometimes there is conflict with the authority. Conflict with the authority.
Then ask your spiritual master what to do. That's what I used to do. I used to write Prabhupada. I would write Prabhupada. I was sometimes confused. I would just write Prabhupada a letter. That's what I would do. So if you have an ability to and email your Guru Maharaj, then do it. Write, email him and get an answer. I wrote Prabhupada many letters to get answers for things that confused me. We could do another seminar and all those letters I wrote him and all the answers I got. There's a whole other, like 10 of them. I was sometimes very bewildered by things I saw in the movement, and I didn't know how to relate to it. So I just asked Prabhupada, and he'd answer me. Just like I saw that I was in the original Gurukula in Dallas. And I thought the teachers were abusing the kids. No one spoke about that in those days. But I wrote Prabhupada about it. And he came to Dallas and he ordered them, never to hit the child. He ordered them never to hit the child. He told the teachers. So I definitely, actually, when I joined, anybody could write Prabhupada a letter. It was a free field. Anyone could write Prabhupada and get an answer from Prabhupada. But then they had a new policy that only the temple presidents and the GBCs and the sannyasis can write Prabhupada. Well, I was addicted to writing Prabhupada, you know. And I took a chance and I violated the policy. I wrote a forbidden letter. You're not supposed to do it, but I did it anyway because I wanted, I just, what can I say? I wrote Prabhupada anyway. But I didn't put my name on the return address, you see. Hoping it would get through security, you know. And Prabhupada is very kind. That's why I tell him about the kids being abused. And I had some other questions as well, but he reminded me what the policy was. But he gave me a concession. He said, but I'm always happy, if there's any urgent matter, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So you know, there was an official policy. Prabhupada gave me a concession. If I had an urgent need, I could write whenever I wanted to. You see? So, and I did write him quite a few times after that, until I finally got a little more mature. I didn't need to anymore. You see? So if you're going through a period of... But then I learned how to ask from different sannyasis, different GBs, different senior devotees, I would get opinions. So I would advise you, inquire from your guru, inquire from other gurus, inquire from other senior devotees. You should never be in a state of confusion. You should always... Just Arjuna was confused in the beginning, you see. If you're confused, that's Maya. You have to inquire from somebody who can clear away your... Ideally, your diksha guru, ideally. But you need to inquire to get your answers, you see, to not be confused. Devotee should be completely free from confusion. He should know what is his duty and be fixed in his duty. You see. So if any confusion, you ask your spiritual master, or if he's not available, ask some other gurus. You can ask me. You can use the Google Translator and you can send me an email in English. And I'll answer you in English and then you can use the Google Translator to go back to Spanish. I'll be happy to guide you personally. You know my email address? You know my... Yeah, you can get it from my disciples. Yeah, you can write me personally. I'll be happy to take care of you. You're my dear niece. You're my niece. So I'm your uncle. So I'll take care of my niece. So any other questions? Okay, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming to Prabhupada Night. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the whole universe, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, flooding the whole universe with ecstatic Krishna Prema, Ki Jai. I have some garlands to give away here. Anybody want a garland?